OvertimeHockeyTalk.com. My name is Justin Baker, not Mark Paul like usual. He is my co-host today.
Oh, yes. I love being your... Just
kidding. Oh, no. All right. Well, last show we did a nice little redraft. I will be honest with you. Some surprises from Mark because he is not the brightest tool in the shed. So.
Wow. My team is much better than yours. Wow. Thank you.
All right, great. Well, we're gonna do another little redraft show here for you, but this time we're gonna start off with the year 2010 and finish off strong in 2013.
Oh, did I do that for our? Yes, I did. Another 4 years for you, and let's get it started.
Yeah, what do you got for us, Mark?
Okay, well, we'll just go over the real.
Quick
the
review.
Real draft. Little recap. This was the Taylor Tyler draft.
I remember this very well.
And especially just because, so we both live in the Plymouth area, and the Plymouth Whalers were an OHL team before mm-hmm. they got sold by Peter Karmanos, and they took them to Flint.
Yeah.
Because Flint's obviously a better location than Plymouth.
USA Hockey, though, in here has been very great.
Yes, yes. Now USA Hockey, their development program skates out of that arena. It's
yes.
fantastic. But anyway, so you had Taylor Tyler and then Erica Branson at 3 to the Panthers, Ryan Johansson to the Blue Jackets, Nino Niederreiter to the Islanders, good old Brett Connolly to the Lightning, Jeff Skinner to the Hurricanes, Burmistrov to the Thrashers, Granlin to the Wild, and then, you know, Dylan McElrath had to go mess up the top 10 because except for him, everybody played well over 300 games.
Yeah, how dare he?
Yeah, jerk, only 43 games. Know. And then Jack Campbell, supposed to be a great goaltending prospect for the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
He played in 2 games, lost one of them, and an 885 save percentage with a 4.5 goals against average.
I know. Where's he playing now? I think he's in L.A., is it?
Oh, does he still play?
Yeah, he's in the minor
leagues. He belongs to somebody. Right. But yeah. Yes, you're right. He does belong to the L.A. Kings. Okay. It was actually last year that he started, or he came in on relief, stopped all 5 shots in a period. So
yeah, well, Quick was injured, so.
What can you do? Yeah, that was Quick and, or not Quick, but who was the backup for them?
For them last year?
Yeah, it was, I can picture his face, dang it. Oh, well.
Was it Enroth?
Okay. No. It was,
Peter Dubay.
Peter Dubay.
Yeah.
Budai.
Yeah.
Dubai. Peter.
Dubai.
Not going to do an Indian accent.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Don't.
Right. Well, let's get her going. Who are you taking number one?
Tarasenko.
Yep. Me too.
Wow.
Yeah.
I figured with your value of centers, you might take Tyler Seguin.
No. And despite the fact that Tarasenko maybe took a little longer to get going, mm-hmm. I think that when all is said and done, he's going to have the most goals in this draft class.
Oh, hands down.
And he is nasty. He's nasty.
He is very good.
So definitely no shame in taking Tyler Seguin if you took him number one. But and I also think that Taylor Hall does Tarasenko plays for a very good team, and mm-hmm. they have been good the whole time he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely contributed. But if you were to replace Tarasenko with Taylor Hall, do you think we're talking about Taylor Hall the same way we're talking about Tarasenko? At least in terms of how much success his individual team has seen, and him because he's obviously playing with some better players too.
That's really tough to say.
Because Taylor Hall he's never made the playoffs.
No.
You know that? He's never made the playoffs.
I feel bad for him. And this might be the year where he gets.
I think the Devils will ultimately make it. But I'm going Tarasenko, Seguin, Hall.
As am I.
And Seguin gets the bump over Hall because he does play center.
Yes. And I'm right there with you. I have Tarasenko, Seguin, and Hall at 1, 2, 3.
All right.
Yeah.
Who's your...
Number four?
Your number four.
Ryan Johansson.
Okay. I'm taking Nino Niederreiter.
Ooh.
Yes. I know it's a shock that I'm going to take a winger over Ryan Johansson. Now, it would depend on my team.
Okay.
I do have Ryan Johansson actually at 7. I went a little bit ham in this draft. Ryan Johansson, you know, if you remember, when he was in Columbus, he had some, we'll say, personality issues.
Yes.
And so that plays a little bit of a factor. You've got to wonder if if and when Nashville takes a little step back, what his attitude will be like, who knows. But I think that Nino Niederreiter, the Islanders drafted him 5th overall. A great spot to draft him. He's a great player, and they traded him for freaking Cal Clutterbuck. Cal Clutterbuck for Nino Niederreiter. Nino Niederreiter is like top 5 right wingers in the NHL.
He is right now, yes.
He's fantastic.
He is good.
And his development was hampered drastically by a horrible Islanders organization, especially at the time. I think that Garth Snow has gotten better as a GM, and their coaching staff is better now than it was. I can't remember the name of the coach that was there before, but before their coach right now is like Bruce Cassidy, right? Is
that... Oh, with the Islanders, no, Doug Weight.
Right Doug Weight. Doug Weight.
Right. I can't remember the guy who was there before.
Yeah, who was the guy? He was. Anyway, so I think that his development was hurt. He'd be higher up in the points total. I mean, right now, actually, like Charlie Coyle has more points than he does.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of players have more points, but I think that if he was developed properly, he'd be right up there.
Okay.
Nino Niederreiter at 4. Who do you have at 4, 5, 6?
Okay. Well, 4, Ryan Johansson, we said that. Number 5, I've got Freddie Anderson.
Like the goaltender, Freddie
Anderson. The goaltender.
Okay, yeah. Freddie Anderson. I was confused because he's in 2 drafts, right?
Yeah, he got redrafted.
I actually was like, oh, is this some other Freddie Anderson? I was confused. I was like, how did they both play 229 games?
Yeah, and I put him in both drafts because I'm like, well, he's here. So the rules say redraft. So, true. Yeah. So he's at number 5 for me. And at number 6, I have Cam Fowler.
Okay.
A guy who plays 24 minutes, no problems.
Yep, Cam Fowler's a good player.
Yeah.
Very, very good defenseman. There's some guys. Yeah, he's at 12 for me.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, Nino Niederreiter.
A little further down.
He's at 14 for me. So.
Okay. Yeah. Jeff Skinner is my 5.
Okay.
And Michael Granlund is my 6.
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
So, and Michael Granlund might be the most underrated player in this whole draft.
Yeah.
Now as we speak. I mean, this year he's got 36 points in 41 games.
Yeah, Granlund to me
69 points last year, led the team in scoring, and so when you look at his Corsi, mm-hmm. he goes, we'll start when he was 22 in his third year, 51.8, 50.5, 49.3, and 51. Solid numbers. Last year, his defensive zone starts with 61.3%.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And this year, 57. And so he's getting a little bit more offensive zone starts, but not much. But he still has a positive Corsi for the most part. And so
I think that has to do a lot with the fact that, you know, Mika Koivu is kind of getting up there in age, so now they're using him a lot more.
He is one of the better defensive centermen in the league, though.
Yeah.
Very responsible.
Yeah, I would have put him higher on this list. He came down at number 13 for me, but it got to the point where
number 13.
Yes, I know. Wow. And I feel bad saying it, but when I'm looking at guys and I'm like, who would I rather have, this guy or this guy? I don't know. It became a little difficult for me to say I want this guy. Because he's been good his career, but like he exploded last year and he's been good this year, but before that he was just good. He wasn't like up there where he should be.
Yeah, he probably wasn't. Yeah, he was still developing. I mean, he was only 20. He's only 25. You know, these guys are young.
But the guys I chose above him, I think, developed a little bit quicker, mostly because they had the opportunity to develop quicker, whereas when he was in Minnesota, they didn't need him to be a number one or two center.
And they played a little bit. They played more. They had the
defense,
wheel and deal with Mike Yeo.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at number 7, I have Ryan Johansson.
Okay.
And then I have John Klingberg.
Ooh.
And then Mark Stone.
Fair enough. Okay. Mark Stone's a little further down on my list too, which.
We have very different draft of this year.
So, number 7, I've got Klingberg. Number 8, I've got the Calder winner, Jeff Skinner. Okay. And at number 9, I've got the bread man, Panarin.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually do not have Panarin anywhere on here.
Wow.
I didn't see him on any. Okay. The way I did this was go in and I clicked the points and I sort it. I clicked the assists and I sort it. And I don't know how I missed.
Mistakes happen. Granted, he didn't come over here till, he was a little bit up there in years. So, the points just didn't
Are you sure he was drafted in this year?
I'm more than positive he was.
Artemi Panarin.
Yes.
Drafted in 2010. Where was he drafted? I'll bet you. Was he drafted at all?
He might have gone undrafted, actually.
Aha, uh-huh, so that's why.
He might have gone undrafted.
Yes, I don't think that he was...
Yes.
He was not drafted.
Okay, that would be why then.
Okay, so that makes it a little
maybe
bit...
Maybe that's
a
an
little bit more
pick,
sense.
Then.
I was like... Okay, yeah, he was definitely undrafted. I was like, he was not in this draft, but okay,
he was eligible.
Yes,
for the draft.
Yes, he's eligible for the draft, so it's totally fair that you put him in here, and so yeah,
it's totally fair that you left him out.
I certainly would have him. I would have him above Mark Stone. I'd have him above Klingberg. I'd probably have him in my like eight to ten.
Okay,
range.
That's fair to say. Well, who do you got at 10 then?
At 10, I have Jaden Schwartz.
As do I.
Okay,
yeah,
good center and. Took a little bit of time to pan out, but obviously this year
he's a goal scoring
very
winger,
much panned out.
Like, yeah, he and Tarasenko make up a deadly, and I can't wait to see him come off injured reserve to see what he can do.
Yeah, the Blues had a good year if they had two top 10 picks.
Yes.
Number go 11 to 12.
All right, 11. 13. I've got Justin Falk.
Oh, me too.
At 12, I've got Kuznetsov.
Okay.
And at 13, I have Michael Granlund.
11, Falk, 12, Fowler, and 13, I have Brendan Gallagher.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Decent picks.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, for me, number 14, Nino Niederreiter. Number 15, I have Tyler Toffoli.
At 15, I have Toffoli. 14, Kuznetsov. Nino Niederreiter is terribly low on your list.
Well, like
if
Granlund,
we think that he's a top five winger...
He is. I won't.
He's
disagree.
A top five winger, and you wouldn't draft him in the top 10.
But he is
of
this
the draft.
Year, his whole entire career, he's
yeah,
a late bloomer.
How many of
sure.
these players at any? Okay, so Tarasenko definitely top winger, one yep. of the top wingers. Tyler Seguin, one of the top centers. Mm-hmm. Taylor Hall at one point, you would. I mean, he was scoring 40.
He's
goals.
Top 10 winger, I think.
Jeff Skinner, very consistent, great goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I don't know how you you would take Freddie Anderson, mm-hmm. knowing all. I mean, it took him a long time to develop too.
Yep.
It took him longer to develop than it took Nino Niederreiter, and he's not even a top five goalie in the league.
I
think he's in
the
top.
I might disagree with you on that one.
This
he's
year,
real close to
this
it.
Year.
Yes, this year he's really close to
right.
top five goalie.
But it's not like last year. Would you put him in the top five goalies in the league?
No,
and never before. So it took him.
Well,
longer than Nino Niederreiter to develop, and you're willing to put him in your top five, but you're putting Nino Niederreiter at 14?
Yeah, because again, when you
Holy
find
smokes.
A top 10 goaltender, it's a little bit harder for me to find those guys that play consistent like Freddie Anderson has versus a guy like Niederreiter who just has recently shown that he can be a
yeah.
top echelon winger.
I'll take my Niederreiter. You can have Freddie right. Anderson, and I'll find my goalie in the dumpster.
Okay.
Let's see. Did you do a top 20 or just a top 15?
I did it only okay. because, yeah, you
I mentioned
you did,
that I did.
Yeah.
There was just guys at the bottom that I thought were interesting, and so I threw together a top 20.
Okay.
Well, I had Freddie Anderson somewhere in this list, and I deleted him out of there, only had him in the other draft. So
okay.
This is 16 through 19 because Freddie Anderson beat
somebody else.
Him off. Jason Zucker at 16, Hyman at 17, ooh. Charlie Coyle at 18, and Eric Goodbranson at 19, which I had actually okay. flipped Charlie Coyle and Erica Branson now that I'm looking at it again.
Okay, fair enough. Well, at number 16, I have Brendan Gallagher. At number 17, I have Mark Stone. At 18, I took Kevin Hayes. 19, Charlie Coyle. And then at 20, Jason Zucker.
Okay, no love for Erica Branson there.
No, I'm sorry. He makes my just-missed list along with guys like Philip Grubauer and Nick Bjugstad and John Merrill. So
Mark Stone, a guy who is 64, 61, 54, and is on pace for 84 points this season,
mm-hmm.
doesn't even make your top 15.
Yeah.
So you would rather have
Tyler Toffoli.
Toffoli, okay. You'd
Absolutely.
Rather have
yep.
Toffoli over him. Interesting. Yeah,
I think yeah. Just me personally,
there are a lot of good players in this draft. Don't yeah. get me wrong. I look at a guy like Mark Stone, and there's very few players like him.
He's good. I won't argue with you, but for me, it was just looking at guys and saying, would I rather have Mark Stone over this guy, and I couldn't justify it in my mind. So, right. And that was the same case with Niederreiter and Granlin too. So,
and Mark Stone just way up there in Corsi too. it's a little bit of a factor. Okay, well, shall we move on? 2011.
Let's move on.
Let's just move on.
Tell me what happened, Mark, in the 2011 draft.
You know, I just ducked out of my thing.
Why would you do that?
I know. Buttons. Okay, so this was the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins draft.
Yes.
And there was just no doubt who was going first overall. It was Nugent-Hopkins all the way. So Nugent-Hopkins goes number one to the Oilers, which solid pick for the Oilers.
Yeah.
Not terrible. Colorado Avalanche take Gabriel Landeskog, who had just a roaring start to his career. And
he won the Calder.
Starting to look a little better, but had some serious down years, as did the Avalanche. The Florida Panthers with Jonathan Huberdeau at number three, Adam Larson, number four, the Devils, Ryan Strome of the Islanders, the sixth, the Senators take Zibanejad, seven, the Jets take Scheifele, the Flyers took Couturier, the Bruins took Hamilton, that pick came from the Leafs for the Phil Kessel deal, and then Jonas Brodin for the Wild. That top 10
is pretty
everyone
good.
Everyone has played the least amount of games, 304 out of Ryan Strome. So he'd be probably the worst player of that top 10.
Yes.
But a pretty solid top 10, I'd say.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't you... But I think they still missed the boat on a lot of players. why don't you kick her off?
Yeah, well, sorry. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is not going number one. Instead, I am getting a Russian guy by the name of Kucherov. Because, my goodness.
Yep. Got to take Kuch.
Oh, he is deadly. And then at number two, I have Scheifele.
So do I.
Because he is, in my opinion, a top five center.
Yep.
I love this guy.
He's very good.
And so I'm guessing you had them at 1 and 2 as well.
1, 2, and Johnny Gaudreau at number 3.
Gaudreau fell to number 4 for me.
Okay.
And you're probably not going to agree with my number 3 pick.
It's going to be a goalie.
It is Jonathan Gibson.
No.
From the Ducks.
Why?
Yes. This guy.
You would rather have a John Gibson.
He long term is going to be Gaudreau. A superstar goaltender.
Yeah, but we're talking. It's already 7 years later. Johnny Gaudreau is phenomenal.
Don't get me wrong.
He is their
love
team.
The kid. Love the kid.
And look at what Calgary was able to do. They just brought in an old Mike Smith, who was seemingly dried up. They bring in this old goalie.
Dried up.
That's
in the desert.
Hey! They bring in a goaltender
who
was supposed to be done with his career for the most part.
Sure.
And obviously he's not, because it doesn't, if you're decent, you're decent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to What has Jonathan Gibson done for the Ducks at this point?
He's been good. But here's the thing. You look at a team like, for instance, I always love to go to the New York Rangers as the example for this one. Looking at having a stellar goaltender, what they can do for you. You look at his numbers the last 4 years. They're pretty dang good. So looking at what a superstar goaltender can do for you, and I think Gibson is that and will be that for a long time. He could steal series for you. Just ask another Ducks goaltender, J.S. Jaguar. He stole the Red Wings.
But J.S. Jaguar was not touted at any point until that as an amazing goalie.
No, and I'll give you that.
So see, and that's where, why do you need to draft a goalie that high when you can find a goalie anywhere.
Because this is hindsight.
Can find
I know what he's going to do.
Yes.
And what he's done.
Yes, and you know what Johnny Gaudreau is going to do, and I would argue Johnny Gaudreau has had a bigger impact on his team than John Gibson has had on his. Because it would be very hard to replace Johnny Gaudreau.
Goals are hard to replace.
Not that hard to replace John Gibson. Number 3 is too high for me, but that's okay. You can take him there. I'll take Johnny Gaudreau. Who'd you take at number 4?
Johnny Gaudreau.
Okay. I took... Where is...
Number 4?
John Gibson is 9.
Okay.
So
still respectable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still taking him. I'll take him.
Okay.
But I need to have a guy who I'm like, okay, yeah, finally there's nobody that I feel like could provide replacement value over. 4, I'm going to take Sean Couturier.
Wow, I took him at number 5.
Okay.
So, love him.
So taking Sean Couturier, you can let him out of this room. That's my dog. He's barking. I'm going to take Sean Couturier at four. And then number five, I'm taking Dougie Hamilton. Now, Dougie Hamilton to me he's the best defenseman in this draft. It was a little bit of a weak defensive draft.
It was. He fell to number six for me.
The next defenseman I take is at 15. So.
Okay. Well, he's number six for me. Yeah. Number seven, Mika Zibanejad.
Wow, Mika Zibanejad, you have him much higher than me. I have him at 19.
Okay, wow.
He barely cracks my top 20. This a very deep draft. Okay, so at number six, Jonathan Huberdeau.
Okay.
Huberdeau is unreal and playing with Barkov.
He is very good.
Fantastic. Yeah, he's number seven, I'm taking Brandon Saad.
Okay.
And then at number eight, I'm going to take Vinny Trocheck.
Okay.
Who's just a goal-scoring machine, which most centers are not goal-scoring machines.
Yeah, that is. So, it's very hard to find a
one. And he's playing with Jamie McGinn, and he's still scoring goals. So
yeah, I will give you that. Okay. Yeah, so number eight for me, I have Gabriel Landeskog.
Okay.
Love the leadership there, and he's still...
What does that even mean?
I don't know anymore. But the guy's got so much freaking speed, and he goes to the net hard. He goes in all the hard places, and I love it. And he fits that line with McKinnon and Rantanen so well. Yeah. So, anyways, that's my number eight pick. At number nine, I have Senior Huberdeau.
Okay.
Right. So
it's a little low, but
a little low. Okay.
A little low for Huberdeau.
Well, okay.
No rhyme intended. Yeah, number nine, like I said, I took John Gibson. 10, I'm going to take Andre Palat. And then 11, I'm going to take Landeskog.
Okay. Well, 10, I've got Palat. At 11, I have, excuse me, Trocheck.
Okay.
Yeah. And then number 12, I have Brandon Saad.
Okay, still no. At 12, I finally took Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
Okay. He went number 13 for me.
Okay, yeah, pretty much the same. My 13 pick is maybe a little off the board.
Yeah?
Okay. I have William Karlsson at 13.
He's 14 for me.
He's come out of nowhere. I think before this year, he wouldn't even be in the top 20.
No, I agree with
you. If he has another year like this year, if this continues and he has another year, I would say that he ends up somewhere in the 7 or 6.
Okay.
Wow. Bump some guys out of there. Bump Assad out of there or something.
All right, fair enough.
Saad maybe gets the advantage. Like, he's thought of better because he's won cups and he Taves and him play well together.
He's very consistent,
though. He can do everything.
Yeah.
That's what you got to love about him. Go your 14 through 16.
Yeah. So 14 was Wild Bill Karlsson. 15, I have Rickard Rakell.
Okay, I have him at 14.
Okay, fair enough. Yep. Then 16, I have Boone Jenner.
Boone Jenner did not make my list.
Ooh, okay.
Did not make my top 20. I actually have 22. 22. I just kept on going.
Wow.
15 is Josh Manson.
Okay, wow. I like that pick.
Finally take a defenseman.
He went down to 20 for me.
It's been a while. I like Josh Manson. And then I also took a defenseman at 16. I'm going to take Adam Larson. Actually, took another defenseman at 17. I took Oscar Klefbom.
Wow. Okay.
So taking a little run on Oilers defenseman, which is... Adam Larson, up till this year, has been good.
Mm-hmm.
Klefbom, up till this year, has been good. So we'll just scratch this year off and hope that it's a...
Okay.
It's just a one-off.
Wow. Well, 17 for me, I have JT Miller. 18... I finally have a defenseman, Jonas Brodin.
Brodin didn't make my list either. He's a tough guy to place.
Yeah.
He's a good defenseman. I mean, I wouldn't mind even having him above guys like Manson or, he's a good defenseman, but he just...
All right.
I think he's a little bit more run-of-the-mill, kind of 4-5 guy.
To each their own. Fair enough. For 19, I've got Namnuskov playing a little Tampa Bay Lightning there.
You have who?
Vladislav.
Oh, Namestnikov.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought you said Landeskog. Didn't you take him a long time ago?
Namestnikov, sorry. And then number 20, Josh Manson.
Okay, so I have Andrew Shaw at 18, and then Zibanejad, Namestnikov, and then 21, 22, Victor Rask, and JT Miller.
Okay, cool. Yeah. A couple guys just missing the list for me, too. Adam Larson, one of those guys, Andrew Shaw, J.G. Pageau.
Oh, yeah.
And... Joel Edmondson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In St. Louis.
Joel Edmondson is, he's a kind of a late bloomer, but somebody who's come on strong. These drafts are a little more, a little more fluid because these guys are just entering their prime.
Yes,
really.
Most of them, yeah.
They're most of these guys, especially this 2012 draft, these guys are like 23, 24 years old. So they're just hitting that spot where they've kind of hit their prime.
Yep.
Speaking of the 2012 draft.
Tell me what happened.
Shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, 2012. This was easily the worst top three out of any draft that we've done thus far.
I would agree.
With Nail Yakupov going number one, Ryan Murray number two, and Alex Galchenyuk number three. Not to mention the fourth, Griffin Reinhart at number four, who played 37 games. And then Morgan Riley for the Leafs at number five, Hampus Lindholm to the Ducks, Dumba to the Wild, Derek Pouliot to the Pens, and then you've got the Jets taking Trouba and Tampa taking Slater Cuckoo. So with that said, let's dive right in.
All right. Well, number one, I have Philip Forsberg.
So do I. The worst trade of all time, I think. Martin Erat. An unrestricted 33-year-old Martin Erat. Martin Erat was a good player. If it had been Martin Erat when he was 23, it would have still been a bad trade, but it wouldn't have been horrific.
Right.
But Martin Erat left and like never played again after that.
I know.
Or maybe played another year, but... Yeah, Philip Forsberg definitely.
Could you imagine Forsberg playing on the opposite wing of Ovechkin with Backstrom in the middle?
Bye.
See ya.
Would have been, yeah. Can you imagine Martin Erat playing? number two.
I have, you're not going to like my number two through four picks, but I'm just going to ring them off really quick here. I've got Andre Vasilevskiy at number two, Matt Murray at number three, and Freddie Anderson at number four.
Okay, none of those are in my top five.
Ouch.
None of them. Vasilevskiy is a product of an amazing team.
You seem to think so, but I disagree.
He's a good, very, very good goalie. Very good goalie.
Yes.
But let's just play this game.
And will continue to be a very good goalie, too.
Yeah, sure. Sure, absolutely. Let's just play this game. let's take a look at years past.
Okay. Okay, he has not had many years past, but...
Right. He played 90 games before this season.
Mm-hmm.
917 save percentage in 2016-17 in 50 games. 261 goals against average doesn't matter. Save percentage. Actually, we're just going to go right down and we're going to go to his save percentage in different situations.
Let's do it.
So, even strength. Last year, his save percentage has been very consistent right at 992, which is very good.
Yeah.
This year, it's bumped up to 9.38. Very much a product of being on a great team.
Yeah, absolutely. But at 9.2, still not bad. Still very good.
On the power play, he had a 9.14 save percentage last year. This year, 9.58.
Yeah.
That's otherworldly, which it's...
Well, when you have a team that controls the puck as well as they do, yes. That's why.
He's given up only one goal against.
Is that one shorthanded. Right? One short goal.
This year,
yeah. So not bad.
Power play goals allowed. One? Is that real? They've only given up one power play goal?
Really?
This year. Vasilevskiy's only given up one power play goal all year.
I might have to look into that a little bit more.
How is that possible?
Yeah, that's crazy. No, shorthanded, though.
That's got... Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay, now I understand. Yeah. Okay.
He's got up 19 power play goals this year.
Okay, so there we go. That was, on the power play. I was thinking that was against. My bad. I was like, how is that possible? Their penalty kill is amazing.
Well, it's like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Boston Bruins top line finally gave up their first even strength goal, but with, you know, Marchand and Bergeron, but.
Sure. But yeah, all that to be said, I think that he's definitely has the advantage of playing on a great team.
It doesn't hurt. I'll give you that.
I don't doubt that he's going to be really, really, really good, but I don't think taking him above. So I have you can interchange for me Morgan Riley, Hampus Lindholm, and Colton Parayko. You can take all three of those guys and you can drop them wherever you want. I think that Parayko has some advantage because he plays with Petrangelo.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of these other two guys on this list, Riley or Lindholm, play with anyone of that caliber. So.
Okay.
It's very difficult to separate Parayko from Petrangelo, but good for him. He gets to play with somebody amazing. Morgan Riley, sort of on an island on his own, and he's played for some bad Leafs team.
Yep.
I actually think that he will end up being the best defenseman of these three.
Let's hope so.
And then Hampus Lindholm to me. I'm going Riley, Lindholm, Parayko. And then number five, I'm taking Jacob Slavin.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a run on defenseman other than Philip Forsberg.
Wow, I like it. Well, if I'm being honest with you, my 4, 5, and 6 picks. I'm
glad you're not going to lie about these picks.
No, I'm not going to lie. So my 4, 5, and 6 picks were the same three defensemen that you just rang off. So Parayko, Lindholm, and Riley. However, I had Lindholm above all of them.
Okay.
And then Riley and Parayko.
All right.
For me. So, and then at number 8, I have Connor Hellebuyck.
Aha. He's a little lower for me.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go 6, 7, 8 for me.
Yes. Let me hear it.
I did take some goalies. Okay.
Good.
I took Matt Murray and Andre Vasilevsky at 6 and 7. And honestly, if I'm looking at the year before, I don't know if they go that high. I really don't.
Maybe not. Yeah,
I don't know if they go that high. This draft is a little bit. There's still some good players in it, but it's definitely weaker.
Yeah,
definitely lacks star power too.
Sure.
I mean,
I'll give you that.
Philip Forsberg is a very good center, but is he a first overall center or winger? Yeah, he did play a little center, but anyways, this draft lacks some star power for sure.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay, so I take Matt Murray at 6, Vasilevsky at 7, and then I'm going to go and take the ghost, Shane Gostisbehere, at 8.
Okay, he went number 9 for me.
Okay.
So, like him, like what he can be. Number 10, I have Jacob Slavin.
Okay, yeah.
So, and then what do you got at 10?
So at 9, I have Trouba.
Yep.
And then at 10, I'm going to take Freddie Anderson.
Oh, okay.
So in my top 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 defensemen and 3 goalies.
Yeah.
A very strange top 10.
Yeah.
Right? With 1 forward in the top 10, there's no other draft that even comes close. I mean, in our 2010 draft, I don't have a single defenseman in the top 10. And so it's definitely a far cry. And then only 1 in 2011. So all the defensemen apparently were born in, 18 years before this, 1994.
Yep.
That's where all the defensemen were born. Okay, who do you have at go year 11, 12, 13?
All right, 11, I have Alex Galchenyuk. At number 12, I have Tomáš Hertl. And 13, I have Jacob Trouba.
Okay, Trouba's a little low, eh? Connor Hellebuyck is my 11.
Okay.
And then Tomáš Hertl, also at 12. Tanner Pearson makes my 13.
Wow, okay,
good. You look at his underlying numbers, and I know he's been on a team that has been very focused on possession, but he's the most underrated forward on this list, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. And he's my number 14 pick.
Okay, there you go. And then who's your 15?
15, I had to throw this one. I thought about putting other guys in here, but I'm like, you know, I'm just going to throw this guy in here just because I really love watching this guy play. It's Andre Anthony.
So okay. Yeah. And that's fine. I have Tuvo Teravainen at 14 and then Alex Galchenyuk rounding out the 15.
Wow.
I'm low on Galchenyuk.
Clearly.
Not a big fan.
Yeah.
I think that they've tried to use him in so many situations and he just doesn't satisfy anyone. So,
all right.
so that's where I drop him.
Fair enough. One guy I'm really hoping in a few years to be able to put his name on these redraft lists would be Brady Shea. Mainly for the fact so I can quietly reference the Saturday Night Live skit with Chance the Rapper. When he's like, turn around, what's your name? There's an S, a K, a J. Nope, that's a nope.
I love it.
All right. So let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Last year, 2013. This is actually teams did a pretty decent job drafting players in this one. This is Nathan MacKinnon. Now, if you remember and you go back to this draft, for a very long time, Seth Jones was the number one pick.
Yep,
and he was the guy who was supposed to go number one. And then it was Drouin was never going to be number one, but he was number two. I think he was ranked in this draft was ended up being ranked number two, and MacKinnon was number one, but a lot of people were talking about the Avalanche taking Seth Jones because they needed a defenseman.
Yeah.
And so imagine what this would have looked like if they had actually just gone and taken Seth Jones. But yeah. Seth Jones, there was a lot of teams that was like, okay, well, he'll probably end up, maybe he won't go one, but he'll go two. Oh, he'll go three. And then, of course, he ended up going four. Elias Lindholm for the Carolina Hurricanes at five. Sean Monahan at six. Darnell Nurse for the Oilers at seven. Ristolainen at eight. Bo Horvat to the Canucks at nine. And then Valeri Nichushkin at number 10.
Okay.
And then, small note, Samuel Morin, mm-hmm. Who was drafted by the Flyers, who's now on the Avalanche, he was a part of the Duchesne trade.
Yeah,
is now on the Avalanche. So technically, the Avalanche now have two top 11 picks from that draft.
Yeah, and funny little thing, most people don't realize either too. Jonathan Drouin and McKinnon were teammates in Halifax for this draft. So, nice little duo to have. If you're Halifax, for sure.
Definitely. Okay, well, let's get her started.
Why don't you start us
okay.
off?
Okay. Well, I'll go my 1-2-3.
Give it
How
to
about
me.
About that? Don't say that ever again.
Let me number, have it.
Number one. Don't say that either. Number one, Sasha Barkov.
Oh,
top five center in the NHL.
Top five, really?
I truly believe that. He is. You ask guys across the league who the best centerman is, aside, you go McDavid, Crosby, or Crosby, McDavid, and I think there's a lot of guys who will mention Barkov in the same ilk as a Malkin, Matthews, right in there.
So. He definitely has that potential, but I'm kind of shocked.
He's there.
Okay, he's there already. Wow.
There's nothing to do with potential. He is a top five center in the NHL.
I don't hate it.
At minimum, a top eight center in the NHL.
So. Okay. Yeah. And it's funny because right now, if you look at the way the league's going, people have McKinnon already, like, his name penciled in as one of the top three Hart Trophy candidates. So kind of a shocker, but
if they make the playoffs,
yeah,
and he keeps going the way he's going, he has to be considered.
For me, I took McKinnon at number one.
Okay.
Mostly because I love his speed, love what he's doing now, and hoping he continues to play as good as he has.
Okay. So did you take Barkov at two?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then I really Jones love at him. Three?
No, actually, I took Jonathan Drouin at three.
Okay,
yeah,
still so Jonathan Drouin.
The top
Jonathan Drouin very much fell down my list.
Really,
not a big Drouin guy.
Okay,
he's a dick. We know you know he's a dick.
I'm not disagreeing.
He just
with
sat
you.
Out because the guy's a diva. I don't want a diva. I actually, if I were a general manager and I'm looking at this list, I have him at seven.
Okay,
but. I don't even think I would draft him. I think I'd just pass on him.
If you know he's going to act like that, yeah, that definitely hurts his draft stock.
Yeah, and if you're a good GM, if you have good scouts, you're going to go talk to that kid. You're going to figure out that he's like that.
I won't disagree with you. And he's got what I like to call the Kyle Turris syndrome. So I'm hoping he matures a little bit.
Kyle Turris was in a bad situation, though.
He was.
In Phoenix.
I will definitely give you that.
But he was in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But maybe he matures a little bit more. And, you know.
Good when you're with a good organization and you screw it up because you're a diva, that's when it's bad. When you're with a bad organization, then you go to Ottawa's not much better, but you go to a better organization and you're fine. You know that it was the organization. And maybe that he was younger, but
Maybe he really wanted out of. He knew Phoenix was that bad, and I have to get out.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
Ray Whitney told him, run. No. okay, four, five, six. Who do you have?
Okay, you might not like them, but I do. Four, I have Sean Monahan.
Okay.
Number five, I have Seth Jones. And at number six, Bo Horvat.
Okay, why wouldn't I like that? That's fine.
Okay,
you didn't say a goalie, so is there a goalie on? I don't think there's a goalie.
I don't have a goalie on my list.
The
best goalie on this list is Tristan Jarry.
Or Juuse Saros.
Yeah, and neither of them.
Who has played very well for the Preds, actually.
Yes, lately, absolutely.
If you look at his stats,
but he's been hot.
Yeah, he has a .930 save percentage and three shutouts.
Pretty dang good.
So that helps, those three games where he had the shutouts.
Yeah.
There's maybe an argument to take Tristan Jarry. Those guys maybe in the top 20, but that's probably all I do. I have Saros just missing my list and Jarry.
Okay.
4, 5, 6. Brett Pesce.
Okay.
Pesce. Sean Monahan at 5 and Elias Lindholm at 6.
All right. I respect it.
Okay. I may the Elias Lindholm, that might be you know, it's going to, a lot depends
yeah.
on how he kind of pans out. I think that there's a reason to believe that he has more production in him, but mm-hmm. if he doesn't, then I'm dropping him.
On this okay. list. So 7, 8, 9. Let's see. I'll go. For 7, I got Ristolainen. At number 8, I have Anthony Mantha. And at number 9, I have Alexander Winberg.
Okay, Winberg. Okay, so yeah. Winberg is at 15 for me. Rasmus Ristolainen's at 14.
Wow.
No love.
No love. I don't. I think that he's fine. He's not a bad defenseman. Mm-hmm. I know he's in a bad situation, but he's yes. just not good. He's also contributed to the bad situation. Oh. I don't think he's very good. I think that he's just been, he's the best player, the best defenseman mm-hmm. on a really crappy bunch of defensemen.
Wow.
It's like the, okay. It's like the group of ugly girls. And
there's one hot girl.
There's one who looks like she's hot, but it's right. just because she's with other ugly girls. It's the same thing. That's Ristolainen.
Oh boy. I'm going to get a lot of slack for this HR mess today.
Yeah, we're it's okay. As long as you're PC at work, right?
Oh, yeah.
7, I'm going Jonathan Drouin. 8, Mantha. And 9, Bo Horvat.
Okay.
You know, with Bo Horvat, I really like Bo Horvat. I actually want to have him higher on this list. I think I could. It's funny. I could actually flip him 6 and 9 with Elias Lindholm.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about the fact that he's people kind of talk about him like he's this like defensive center, and I don't really think he is. I don't think that's really where he should, what he should be doing. He's a second line center.
Okay.
And well, I like his game. I like watching him. I think that he requires players around him over him necessarily driving the play. So I think of him. He's Nazem Kadri is a great comparable to me.
Ooh.
Maybe not necessarily in playing style, but in terms of talent level,
mm-hmm.
where you could play him as a number one center. Kadri was a number one center at one point, but he shouldn't have been. He was just on a really bad team, just like Bo Horvat. So
okay,
there we go.
Wow,
10, 11, 12.
All right, 10. I got Brett Pesci.
Yeah, we're gonna figure out how to say his name.
Yeah, okay. And while he's doing that, number 11, I have Darnell Nurse. And number 12, Elias Lindholm.
Okay, Darnell. Yeah, Darnell Nurse is my 10.
Okay.
I have Will Butcher at 11.
Ooh, I like that.
A little bit of a gutsy pick.
Yeah.
My thought was he is probably the, aside from Seth Jones,
mm-hmm.
he's the other really offensive defenseman here.
Yep.
And so I'm going to take my chances with a guy who can move the puck.
Okay.
And every team needs that.
I respect it.
But Nurse at 10. This is really the first year that he's looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one bright spot, I would say, for the Oilers this year. And before this, it just took him a while to develop. But mm-hmm. that's okay. I mean, a defenseman being good when they're 23, 24 is acceptable.
Absolutely.
Forward's not acceptable.
Right.
That's right. Too long. But, yeah, 20. That's fine for a defenseman. And then at 12, Josh Morrissey.
Ooh.
Very underrated.
Didn't make my list, but
he's I think he's probably my underrated player of this draft.
Okay. I don't hate the pick.
We also didn't talk, I don't think, enough about Anthony Mantha. Because I think that Mantha has the potential to be in the top 5 of this draft.
Yeah. I agree.
I think there's an argument to be made that he could be taken 5 or 6 above Sean Monahan, actually.
Wow.
That Sean Monahan is a product of Johnny Gaudreau and not the other way around. For sure not the other way around.
Well, I know how you feel about that one, and I won't sit here and argue with you on that one. I think Monahan's a good center. But, again, looking at what is in this draft.
Who's Mantha playing with right now?
He's playing with a lot of different guys.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's what I thought.
He plays with, and I won't disagree with you that I love Mantha's potential and where his ceiling can
go. Does he have the potential maybe to be a Wayne Simmons? Do you see
Anthony Mantha?
Do you see
he could be much better than Wayne Simmons?
Okay,
I feel
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean that just if he's better than Wayne Simmons, then I'm taking him maybe 4.
Yeah, I mean you look at what Anthony Mantha, he doesn't right now. He's been thrown up and down that lineup like what they're doing right now in Detroit. They're actually rolling a lot of nights, 7 defensemen, 11 forwards. So you'll see him put on that fourth line with Martin Furk, and they just roll either Dylan Larkin, Zetterberg, or sometimes even Nielsen. They'll just throw one of those guys in there and just say, go out there and skate with them and double shift. And
So. He's like a better James Van Riemsdyk.
Well, ooh.
A guy who actually uses a Van Riemsdyk who uses his body.
Yeah. And Mantha's starting to get better, too, at using his hands in tight on long deck yeah. in front of that goal, too.
Probably won't be quite as good as JVR because hardly anyone is.
That's hard to do.
In tight, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go 13, 14, 15.
Round it off. 13, I have Shea Theodore. 14, I have Jake Gensel. And 15, Max Domi.
Okay. A few of those guys missing my list. Okay. I have Jake Gensel at 13, who I'm a little worried about. I'm not sure how much of a product he is playing with the guys he's playing with.
Right.
But
time will tell.
If I knew from my team that he could come up and he could change the fortunes of my team for 2 years and you win two cups. He's the reason they won those two cups.
Oh, yeah.
14, I'm going with Ristolainen. Even though I don't think he's that good, I don't think he's that bad. I just don't think.
Okay.
I think he's a four.
Okay.
He's a top four guy. He's not a top guy, and he needs some of the other people around him. And then 15, I'm going to take Wennberg.
Okay.
Yeah. Max Domi just misses my list. Max Domi looked like he was going to be really good.
He still could.
And he still could, certainly. I look at the players on that Coyotes team,
mm-hmm.
and you know who are the players that are supposed to be good? Domi's supposed to be good. You got Clayton Keller. Derek Stepan. There's not bad names on that team. They're just to an extent they're like the Avalanche were last year, where you're like they have some good players. I don't know why they're this bad. Yeah. Like they should not be this bad.
No, absolutely.
I really don't think that they're this bad. I actually. Be interesting to go look at the schedule for the second half and see who has to play them the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to get better in the second half than they are in the first. I think that some of the puck luck, it's going to have to maybe sway back towards them a bit.
There it is.
And I think their second, this isn't that hard of a prediction. Their second half will be better than their first half.
Yeah, I think.
Even if they trade guys away, I think they're going to get better. I think they're going to get better.
Yeah. I think at some point, too, that desperation and not be as bad as Colorado was last year will set in.
Let's hope so.
So
let's hope so. Well, hey, there's four more years for you. We'll have to, we have what, 14, 15, 16, 17. We could do four more years.
We could.
And do a redraft of 17, which is hard to do.
Very difficult.
Last year's, yes. But we could bump some guys up. You never know. We'll have to do that in the future. But
why not?
I know I'm in Europe right now. And again, hopefully I'm not locked up abroad. That'd be great.
Don't call me.
But we will see you guys next week for a regular show.
Yeah.
Where I'll be back and we'll be able to talk about the things going on. But until then, hit us up with your questions at OT Hockey Talk. Go to OTHockeyTalk.com for more. And we will talk to you guys next week.